2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 28 through 39. Get yourselves ready. Father, we come to you, Lord, humbly, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your word, because we know you speak to us through your word. And Lord, we appreciate that you gave us your word. Lord, forgive us for the times we don't get into it. But Lord, when we do, please, Lord, talk to us and help us, so we want to come back for more. And Lord, speak to us today through Pastor Terry as he gives your word to us. And let it take root deep in our hearts, Lord. And let it grow and produce a crop, Lord. And let that crop bear fruit. And Lord, let us do something great for you as we out to the world that we live in around us, wherever we are, because we carry your spirit with us, Lord, and we carry you around everywhere we go. And Lord, let us be holy like you want us to be, as we endeavor to do all the things you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so verse 28, starting in verse 28, chapter 3 of 2 Samuel. When David heard about it, he declared, "I vow by the Lord that I and my kingdom are forever innocent of this crime against Abner, son of Ner. Joab and his family are the guilty ones. May the family of Joab be cursed in every generation with a man who has open sores or leprosy, or who walks on crutches, or dies by the sword, or begs for food." So Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner, because Abner had killed their brother Asahel at the battle of Gibeon. David mourns Abner's death. Then David said to Joab and all those who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on burlap. Mourn for Abner." And the king himself walked behind the procession to the grave. They buried Abner in Hebron. And the king and all the people wept at his graveside. Then the king sang this funeral song for Abner: "Should Abner have died as fools die? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not chained. No, you were murdered, the victim of a wicked plot." All the people wept again for Abner. David had refused to eat anything on the day of the funeral. Now everyone begged him to eat. David had made a vow, saying, "May God strike me and even kill me if I eat anything before sundown." This pleased the people very much. In fact, everything the king did pleased them. So everyone in Judah and all Israel understood that David was not responsible for Abner's murder. Then King David said to his officials, "Don't you realize that a great commander has fallen today in Israel? And even though I am the anointed king, these two sons of Zeruiah, Joab and Abishai, are too strong for me to control. So may the Lord repay these evil men for their evil deeds." Amen.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I have it, I read it, I study it. With God's help, I live it. I better move this up, I'm getting feedback. Flip it up higher. That better? Jeffrey? Okay. When I hear it, I know it's bad. Okay, so as I study this, I look at David, and I look at David's heart, and I, you know, Mark went over how this all transpired, that Abner's life was taken, and it was by deception. That, and not only was it Joab, but he involved other people in this sin. He sent messengers to go lie to Abner to bring him back so that they could kill him. Evil. You know, there was something that happened in Germany that people were at a place and they came in with knives, and the Palestinian groups that are militant groups are claiming responsibility, but they cut four people's throats and stabbed eight others. Is that evil? Man, I'm thinking about the times when a lot of us older ones grew up where things were a lot different. Now, today, there's a lot of evil if you're not surrounded by the right people, and the world's trying to pull you into it, trying to pull you into that evil. And as you look at David, he says, hey, he gave Abner a great funeral. And he says, hey, I'm not responsible for this. God's trying to reunite two kingdoms. And I'm thinking about how we're going to reunite the United States. Man, we are so divided that it's amazing to me the evil that's trying to conquer one and the other, and they both badmouth each other. There's no Jesus in that. There's no Jesus in that. So David declares that his blood's not on my hands, and all the people believe it. All the people are believing. Why didn't David have Joab killed? Well, he was the leader of the army for David. You take and murder him, what's that going to say about you then? You're just as evil as he was. So he's trying to reunite these two, Israel and Judah, and all the people think, okay, it's not on him. He didn't have anything to do with it. But then David pronounces curses on Joab and all his family. If you look back in the book of Leviticus, we're not going there today. And there's in your flyers, there's all the verses we're going to cover. So I got that from an old guy that said it'd be better if we had one of those in there. And I appreciate that. I'm always good for criticism. If you're not good for criticism, you're probably not good for too much. So you need to listen when people talk to you. And David was talking. And anyway, if you look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy, if you're doing good, if you're obedient, the list of things for being obedient is very small. But if you're disobedient, the list goes on and on and on in both. And if you don't believe me, check them out. And I'm telling you, disobedience and these curses that he puts on Joab all come from those. So it says leprosy, but it means a skin disease of many types, it could mean in the Hebrew. Also, the word on crutches could mean, I'm not going to pronounce it right, probably, which means kind of feminine. And the ones who handle a spindle. So, but it says crutches in the New Living Translation. I looked at others and anyway, so we're going to look at what God says about evil. And I'm telling you, the world's trying to pull you in to evil ways of thinking and to take your mind off of God and to get you to conform to their way of thinking. And we just heard, let God transform us into a new way of thinking. But what's the world trying to do? They're trying to conform you into their way of thinking. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 62, verses 11 and 12. Everybody should already be there, right? It's in your bulletin. I'm going to start in verse 10. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. Are there a lot of people out there trying to do that now? Hey, I'm telling you what, if you pay taxes, they're stealing from you. If you pay Social Security and you're young, they're going to steal from you. And if you make your and if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. Don't make it the center. Man, so many people think, man, this is my money. God gives you everything. And it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. He supplies it all. But it's up to you what you do with it. But don't make it the center of your life. It says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. How many people out there love money? I'm telling you, there's a lot of them. And most of them that have all that money, they're afraid of two things. Well, that's one of them. The other one's, how am I going to get more? How am I going to get more? Man. Well, with that, they think it comes power, but it's really a curse. 11, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. So we're all going to be held accountable on that day. We're going to be held accountable for the good things and for the other things that we missed opportunities. How many of us miss opportunities? How many of us get angry? And if you say you don't, you're probably one of these right here. We all, anger is a secondary emotion, but there's things that stir us up that make us angry. And you got to start controlling some of that stuff. Because Joab didn't. And he involved other people into his sin. How many people today sin and want to draw other people into it? Right out through those doors. Maybe some people in here. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Well, we're going to start in verse 5. Back up. Wisdom from the Lord. How about that? How many are relying on it? This is what the Lord said. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength. I'm telling you, when I rely on my own human strength to do things and I think I can take care of it instead of the Lord, I end up in trouble. I end up in trouble. And turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank. If you ever look at trees along a riverbank, they're always blush and green. Always plush and green. And you can see other ones that are away from it, out in the desert somewhere, and they're struggling. You know, we talked about Colossians, and it says, you know, in order to grow with the Lord, you have to let your roots grow deep. So how do you do that? You water it. You know, you have to feed it with this, right? But how many times do you try to feed it with stuff outside the doors? With roots that reach deep into the water, such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stayed green, and they never stopped producing fruit. So when we let our roots grow down in, we're going to produce fruit, and it's going to be good fruit. Good fruit. Because we know what happens to a bad tree that doesn't produce fruit. And that's not a good thing. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Well, God does. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I will give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So, later on, we're going to find out that when David's on his deathbed, he brings Joab in and he has him executed. Not only for this sin, but there's something else he does, and we'll get into that later on. But he does have him killed at the end. So it tells me that his heart was never right. How many people today, their hearts aren't right? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul?" Man. What are you going to benefit? I'm telling you, you're going to die the second death. If you're a Christian and you're truly made Him Lord of your life, you're going to die once. You're going to be born twice and die once. If you're not a Christian, you're going to be born once and you're going to die the second death. And the second death was not meant for anybody except for the devil and all his demons. "Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with His angels in the glory of His Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come back? Scott's always given us an update on the temple and stuff. It's great to know what's going to happen, but it's better to know that you're going to be ready when it does happen. Is that a key issue? Absolutely it is. I mean, I look out at society, I look out at the world, and I think how many people have gave up their souls for other things, whether it's, you know, drugs, abuse. You know, we used to teach domestic violence abuse. And abusive people, man, they hurt others, they hurt families, it kills society. Okay. Romans chapter 1, 28 to 32. And I'm sure in that study on Saturday, Skeeter can probably quote this one for me. Almost. That's what my granddaughter, when I got her and I asked her a question, do you have that done? Almost. Chapter 1, 28 to 32. "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip." So, if it was going on then in the New Testament, how much is it going on today? They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Here's the key verse. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Be careful who you hang around with. The people that with Joab, he involved other people into his sin. He involved his other brother, which he might have had a little, still a root of bitterness in his heart. But he involved others to go get him. How many people want to involve you in their sin? How about gossip? Man. Six things God hates. No, seven he detests. And one of them is creating dissension or gossiping about people. It tears things up. Are you saying something to build somebody up or are you saying something to tear them down? That's gossip. That's gossip. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Man, we have to be careful. We have to be very careful of what we say and what we do, how we act. When you're out around unbelievers, they're looking at you through a microscope just to see if you're walking what you're talking. Yeah. They don't think much of talkie-talkies. You better be a walkie-talkie. How about that? Whatever you're talking, you better be walking the same thing you're talking. Or you don't have any credit. You're not going to have any credit. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? How many people go and want to do something else to a believer, a fellow believer? Well, what was happening then is probably happening a lot more now. Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? If we got discrepancies, we need to sit down and talk about them. Amen? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. We do things that bring us back into the world instead of taking care of them with here. This church used to be board ruled. I'm telling you what, that was the most craziest thing I ever seen. You got a church board and things would be brought up and nothing would be decided. But sometimes in the church board meeting, all knives and guns had to be out on the table because somebody was going to get somebody. Sad. Sad. And when we went to elder ruled, altogether different. Because when we agree on something in there, if there's three or four of us that agree, it has to be unanimous when we walk out of that room. It has to be unanimous. And we've never had a problem since then. We've never had a problem. But I'm telling you, the board ruled it was an election by man appointing instead of God appointing who was going to be in there to make decisions. Shouldn't it be godly men making decisions for the church? Well, if they're not, you're in trouble. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Oh, I didn't finish? Oh, I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even fellow believers. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people. Man. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that. Hey, don't put up your hands. I think we all been like that. You don't have to raise your hand. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? So, you've been cleansed. He's reminding the church in Corinth that, hey, what are you doing? So is he reminding the church today? Man. All right. Galatians chapter 5. All right, let's start in verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are under no obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sin like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then it goes on to tell us what the Holy Spirit produces in us. And you know what those are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I look at these things and I just look at society today in the United States and I'm thinking, how far have we fallen? That's stuff that goes on all the time. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Man, somebody's got something and I think I should have it. Jack Bittenroger got a nice phone. I think I should have it. I don't want it. Lord gives me everything I need. But the world's trying to pull you into this way of thinking. That this behavior is okay. And you're going to be just like Joab. You're going to end up just like him. And in the book of Revelation, it tells you where you're going to end up. And it's going to be the second death if you follow the ways of the world. So my prayer today is that you pay attention to what this word says. Get into it. Let your roots grow down into it. Let be that tree on the riverbank and be continually watered with His Word. How many people spend 2 days a week in the Word? Okay. How many spend 3 days a week? Okay. How many spend four? See, the numbers go down. And oh, you spend, how many spend a half hour? That might be, huh? The world tries to make you think that you're so busy you don't have time to get into this Word. But I'm telling you, you have time. You're wasting so much time doing other things that you neglect it. You neglect it. So my prayer this week is that more of you would get into it so your roots could grow deeper into it. How many here to come on Wednesday night? I know how many. I see the numbers. But come, listen to the... sometimes when Jesus left and the disciples were in the upper room, they had to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not being continually filled with the Holy Spirit by prayer and by into His Word, I'm telling you, you're going to do the things that Joab did. You're going to fall into the same traps. You have to be careful. What you think about something long enough, you're going to do it. And if it's not a good thing, you need to get rid of that thought and get rid of it. Whatever it is. If it's a good thought, go ahead and let it soak in. And a lot of good thoughts come right out of the book. But if you're not into it, how do you let your roots grow down into it? How do you do it? You don't. Because if you're not, He's not Lord of your life. And it says you have to make Him Lord of your life in order for you to be there. What's that mean? It means you're no longer in control. He is. Well, if He's in control, He's telling you get into this. He says He is the Word. Yeah. He is the Word. So if you say Jesus is your Lord, you need to be in the Word to learn more about Him, to grow deep into Him. Joab, his time's coming. But God's going to do what He intended to do with David. And He's going to make him king over all of Israel. God is faithful, always faithful, to do what He said He's going to do. So if He said, each one of you are precious, He knows you before you were in your mother's womb. Are you important to Him? Absolutely you are. He says we're peculiar. You know what that word means? It means you're more precious than anything else to Him. But how are you treating Him? How are you treating Him? Are you treating Him with honor? Like David, all the people seen what he did for Abner, that he had nothing to do with it. And they respected everything he did. He gave him a great burial. And then he told Joab, tear your clothes and put on that burlap so you know what you did. And then he wouldn't eat. He made a vow that he wasn't going to eat until after sundown. And all the people respected everything he did. How do people think about you? Do they respect everything you do? Because I'm telling you, a lot of people are watching you. Hey, I hope you hold me accountable. We all need to be held accountable. Amen? Huh? No, but we're to be fruit inspectors, it says. You know, some people say, well, we're not to judge others. And it says it tells you in there that we are to judge one another. We're to be fruit inspectors. It says if people are doing this, we're to go to them privately and say, hey,
You know what you're doing?
No.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, this is what you're doing. And you go to that person privately and try to get them to understand what they're doing wrong. But some people want to go and tell, hey, you know what Skeeter did? Let me tell you. No, okay. Well, then I'd be a gossip. You know, then I'd be a gossip. Yeah, I got two Skeeters. It could be either one of you. You know, I got a pair of you now. Hey. Jack used to be up here, and he'd have Jack up there, and he'd say, two Skeeters ain't going to beat a pair of Jacks, so it don't matter, right? Two Skeeters don't beat a pair of Jacks. So anyway, as you go through this week, think about some of these things and think about the way the world's trying to pull you. I mean, the Bible tells us what we should be doing, but how many people are actually doing it? The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Are you one of the chosen today? That's up to you. That's up to you. But he's called many to go out and help the unbelievers. We're to be sharing the gospel, the good news, with as many as we have the opportunity. Dave was sharing on yesterday, and it was a good message, but it's just like Jesus said to his disciples, do you hear me now? You know, over and over again, you don't understand? And then he'd have to break it down to them. Well, these are people that are walking with him day in and day out. How much more do we not understand? I'm telling you, it's pretty basic of what we're supposed to be doing. But how many people are doing it? So, I challenge you. Get into the Word. 7 days a week. Be into prayer. Well, be into the mission field. How about that? You know, Skeeter's here because two people were in the mission field out talking, and Skeeter said it was hot and she don't go out to get her mail during the heat of the day. But it just happened that she went out and two other people were there and said, hey, we got a little church over here. Why don't you come on over? And she had some questions. And she said, I don't know what she said last week, but she, after the ice cream social, I seen her going, so I went to tell her, you know, goodbye, and we love seeing you. And she said, you checked all my boxes. You checked all my boxes. I said, well, that's good. God did, not me. I mean, it had to be God doing it because I'm just a man. And what's the Bible say? All men are going to let us down. But I hope I don't. I'm not going to teach you anything except for what's in here. And if it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. How about that? So, as you go through this week, think about these things. I don't want to be like Joab. I don't want to have that root of bitterness and try to carry it out against somebody else. Heaven help us. Okay, let's pray. Father, again, we come before you and we know we have access to the Holy of Holies and because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I want to pray for Nancy again, Pete's sister, and for Maureen, right? Maureen? What's the gal's name? Marilyn. And Marilyn and for Karina too. Lord, there's so many people. I pray for the lost, and I pray for each and every one of us in here to share what you've grown, what you've got. It says don't keep it under a lamp, but share it. Be bold about it, what Jesus has done for you. Your testimony is a mighty thing, and not only for you, but for others to show that. So many people think there's holier and holy people in here. We're all sinners. We need it. This is a triage for sinners. And without the grace of God, where would we be? So, Lord, as we go through this week, what good is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Think about these things. Let your roots grow deep so that you don't have to die that second death. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to have an altar call. Maybe it's touched you in one way or another. Maybe you need prayer for one thing or another. I don't know. Maybe your finances. Maybe health. Maybe whatever. Won't you come?
You call me your own. There's no place I'd rather be in your arms of love. In your arms of love. In your arms. Arms of love. All right. Another day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel qualified. What you're calling me to do. But Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use.
So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence.
You took a shepherd boy and made him a king, so I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory.
So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Sing and shout and shake the walls. Won't stop until I see him fall.
Gonna stand up, step out when you call.
Jesus, Jesus.
I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls.
Won't stop until I see him fall.
Gonna stand up, step out when you call.
Jesus, give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. I'll face my giants with confidence.
Thank you, Jesus.